My mom is the worst storyteller I know. She talks slow, repeats herself frequently, leaves in every single detail she can possibly remember, and she repeats herself frequently. Did I say that already? Well, she did too. But she is my mother, and I love her, so I stay hushed and I listen. Now, being a bad storyteller is not the worst thing you can be in life. She's a great mom. She's patient, kind, loving, always made sure we had everything we needed. And she prayed for us. Oh, she prayed hard. We made sure of it. On her bedside table, she has a stack of photos, reminders of who to pray for, that she flips through as she prays. There are photos of me, my sisters, my wife, cousins, family, friends, friends of friends, and the occasional stock photo model my sister sneaks in as a joke. Some people have multiple photos in there. I guess my mom thinks they really need prayer. And some do. I think of my little cousin, Paquito, who is currently serving in the Air Force overseas. In his photo, I can still see 8-year-old him, that was always glued to his Nintendo. I know my mom sees the same thing. He looks like he's playing dress up on Halloween. My dad says he looks like a Ninja Turtle in his camo and helmet. His photo is in there no less than 3 times. I imagine my mother prays the way she tells stories, slowly and in great detail. It's funny, it's exactly what makes her a bad storyteller that makes her a great prayer. She spends time in prayer, by necessity I guess. I mean, she is a slow talker and she has a big stack of photos to get through. But I know she's telling God every single excruciating detail of that person whom she's praying for, recounting to God what they're going through in their life, what they need and what she's praying for, forgetting that she already mentioned what they need and asking for it again. And I know God is more patient than I am, and he takes it all in, and then he answers and grants mercies every time it's asked for. And my mother's prayers work. I know that for a fact. That I'm still Catholic and living the life I am is testament to that. Mother's prayers are powerful prayers. And I think that power comes from an authentic sense of caring and from not being self-centered in prayer. Yes, my mother prays for things that she needs, but so much of her prayer is focused on her care for and the needs of others. So next time you pray, I urge you to pray like a mother. To spend more time praying for your family, friends, friends of friends, than you do praying for yourself. And I urge you to pray like my mother, in slow, excruciating detail, frequently repeating your prayers, because even if your spouse or best friend can't take your bad storytelling, God certainly will. Welcome back to Protagonists of Change. I'm your host, Darnell Miller. Today, we're talking about praying moms. I sit down with actor Jim Coleman, the man in the lead of St. Luke's Productions, Tolton, from Slave to Priest, to talk about his work as an actor and the life of Father Augustus Tolton, the first African-American priest ordained in America. And guess what? He had him a praying mama. Then, in Who's That Saint? We look at the life of St. Monica, St. Augustine's mother, whose powerful prayer for her son led to the conversion of one of our church's most important theologians. But first, if you want to hear more stories of people living out their faith, creating positive change in the church and the world around them, make sure to subscribe to Protagonists of Change anywhere you listen to your podcast. Better yet, follow us at Mac Studios UST on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube to see all of our content and learn alongside us how to better live our faith. Now, let's get back to our interview with Jim Coleman. All right, Jim, so thank you for taking the time to sit down and talk with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Would you go ahead and just introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Okay. My name is Jim Coleman. Actually, it's Jimmy Coleman. You know, that's my real name. stage name, Jim R. Coleman. It sounds so strong, you know, I think. But Jimmy is what my mama called me. So full-time actor. I've been a full-time actor for almost 30 years. Actually retired about 5 years ago and would just do occasional, you know, movie here, commercial, different things like that. And Somehow, a friend of mine told me about St. Luke Production and said that God laid it on her heart that I was going to be Father Augustus Tolton. And I said, well, you know, you're mistaken. That's not going to happen. I retired and I'm not going to do this. So she said, please just audition. And I did. And I didn't get the part. So I was pleased about that. Everything went well. 3 months later, I get a call saying, would you please consider this? And the funny thing about it is I had pretty much given up on it. And my mom and my mother-in-law and my wife, everybody's praying. They're like, this is a great opportunity. You'll be able to, you know, talk to people about God's word, about Father Tolton. We've never heard of him. And I think this is great. And I said, well, somebody else got it. So, you know, it's over. And my mother-in-law said, no, it's not. We've been praying. What do you mean? It's over. Somebody, no, God got you on this one. We want you to do this. And sure enough, here I am. And I was touring for 2 years before the pandemic, and we just started back. And Houston is the first place we stopped.
Nice, yeah. And I saw it last night, and it was fantastic. I remember we spoke to you, a couple weeks ago, and you said it was going to be good and we'd enjoy it. And like, yeah, it didn't disappoint. It was fantastic.
Good, thank
you. It was so powerful.
Yeah, glad you enjoyed it.
So going back to you growing up, how did you even decide to become an actor? Where did that desire come from?
Well, it was growing up in Dallas, Texas. Pretty... tough area, I guess. You know, it's if anybody knows Dallas, I grew up in Oak Cliff, went to Roosevelt High School, and I was walking the wrong path. And a teacher there, drama, you know, she was the drama teacher. And I went to her class and did an assignment. She loved it. And she said, you should really, really, really think about this. And I ended up getting on the speech and drama team and won some trophies. Left high school, went to the military, and basically forgot about acting. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, I'm reading the paper, and I saw an audition. I was in Pensacola, Florida. I'd gotten out of the military. I was in Pensacola, Florida. Saw an audition. And I said, well, I'm not doing anything in the evenings. Let's just give it a shot. Booked a job, and let me tell you, the bug hit me, and it's all I've wanted to do. I realized that's when I'm happiest, is when I'm on stage. I guess... the telling moment for me was I was doing a show called Between Two Thieves, and I was playing Judas. Mm-hmm. And in that show, there's a scene where Judas said, I didn't know they were going to kill him. I didn't know. And I'd never heard that. I just never really, you know, you read the Bible and you go, Judas betrayed him. And his line was, I didn't know. I didn't know they were going to kill him. And it touched me, and I was just broken. And I looked in the audience and I saw people crying because it's like they didn't know either. And at that moment, it was like, you know what? To be able to feel this emotion and share this emotion and paint this picture, it's unbelievable. It's a feeling that, I loved it. So that was it. And I mean, I worked a lot of jobs. Journeyman press operator for years, but I would always do theater in the evening. And someone said, you should try television, man. And that, sir, changed my life.
How so? How did it change your life?
Well, I got an agent, and I would do industrials, and I would do non-union commercials and different things like that. And someone said, you should, you know, you're eligible to join the union and this and that. And I joined SAG, and I was still working full time, but I worked nights. So I had an audition for a TV show that it was a brand new show. It was a pilot, and it was on Nickelodeon. There was a show called My Brother and Me. And I had never really done anything other than theater and, you know, little small things. And I booked a job. And all of a sudden, I'm the dad on a series. And that was it. It was like, you're a series regular and you get up in the morning and you go act. So that really was mind-blowing to me. So I was doing a series, and then I would get, you know, scripts for other stuff, and I would be asked to do different things. And that was in, I think, 91. And it's been the same ever since.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so what was your faith life like through all of that? I know you mentioned you came from a Catholic family.
No, Baptist. No,
Baptist. Okay.
Yeah, my father was a Baptist minister.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was, I was asked about Catholicism when I auditioned for this. Mm-hmm. And I said to Leonardo DeFilippis, I said, where I grew up, Catholicism wasn't an option. Mm-hmm. I knew nothing about it. My father was a Baptist minister. That's the only religion, really, that I knew. As far as Catholicism, it just wasn't an option. I had no idea. Mm-hmm. And to be able to, I said to him, I think faith is faith. I think we all know that Mary was the mother of Jesus. I said, and if we believe that God raised his son from the dead, I think we all are on the same page, that we're all one in Christ. I think if we all believe that, whether I'm Baptist, Protestant, or Catholic, mm-hmm. We're on the same page. And with that, he agreed. And so now I've been with the Catholics for quite a few years. And I really, really have understood by, you know, staying at homes of the Catholic families and, you know, the different things, the love mm-hmm. of Mary, the love of Christ, it is so pure. I have to say this, I didn't know about adoration. Mm-hmm. I had never heard of adoration. So I was staying with the family in Houston, Texas, and they would get up at like 3:34 in the morning and they'd leave. And they said, hope we don't disturb you. We leave around 4 in the morning mm-hmm. to go to adoration. And I said, where is that? And they said, we go basically and pray and just spend time, you know, with Jesus. Just spend time in prayer. I said, at 4 in the morning? I said, yes. And I said, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And I found that devotion, that love, mm-hmm. you don't see it everywhere. And I've come to really, really love and respect the Catholic faith. And I feel, as far as myself, growing up with a minister, I never really wanted to be mm-hmm. a minister or a pastor or a priest or anything like that, because I just felt, you know, that's not my, you know, I'm an actor. I'm going, man, I'm living a life. I'm traveling the world. This is great. And my aunt, she said, it's amazing how your entire life, everybody told you that you were going to be a priest or that you were going to be a preacher. You're going to be a preacher just like your father. You're going to be a preacher like your grandfather. You're going to be a preacher. And I said, yeah, but I proved them wrong. She goes, no, you didn't. I go, what do you mean? She says, see, God knows you better than you know yourself. God knows how much you love to act. He knows how much you love to be on stage. And he gave you all of that for all those years. And then he cast you as a priest to travel around in churches and tell people his story and tell people the story of a great, great priest. So you're basically preaching. Did you know that? And I said, shut up.
Oh, man.
So it has been a wonderful, wonderful ride for me as far as faithfulness. Mm-hmm. Watching and learning the story of Father Tolton, his faithfulness has humbled me. Anybody that goes through what he went through and continued and didn't give up on their vocation, even though nobody wanted him, no seminary would take him, mm-hmm. and he still went through. His mother said, don't give up. When they said, you need to go back to Missouri, and he said, I got to cross that river again, mm-hmm. I'm scared. And she said, I'm scared too. But if this is going to get you closer to the priesthood, we'll go. Those are the things that when you have that support and you have that mother that's praying for you, I feel that it has humbled me in a way reminiscent to a line in the show where it says, I'm completely unworthy, but God has brought me here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I do what I do.
Yeah. That's awesome. And that's really interesting. So my father's black. He's from Chicago. He's
okay.
from the suburbs right north of Chicago in Waukegan. But he was also Baptist.
Okay.
And so my mom was from South Texas, like right on the border. She grew up Catholic. And when they got married, my dad was like, well, I'm just going to go to church. Right. And yeah. So my mom went to the church that she went to growing up. So my dad just came along because it was church to him.
Yeah.
But so like growing up with, you know, seeing both of those, right. Whenever you go up to Chicago, we visit my grandma, like we go to church with her. Right. And it's kind of, it's interesting because when you see the way that they celebrate their faith,
mm-hmm.
It looks different than the Catholic presentation,
right.
But there's love and there's joy there too.
Absolutely.
And to kind of bridge those two worlds together, right.
Yeah.
It's beautiful because I think they draw out different things from each other. Right.
Yeah.
Different expressions of the way we can love our faith.
Right. So you had the best of both worlds.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and my dad being Baptist, you know, he can quote the Bible at you all day, which is something Catholics aren't especially good at.
Yeah. Let me tell you, my father, my mother and father, they can quote scripture. Yeah. And no matter what you're doing at that time,
mm-hmm.
they will quote a scripture to say why you should or shouldn't be doing that. It's in the Bible. It says this. And it's like, but I just,
mm-hmm.
you know, honor your father and mother that your days may be longer. Be quiet and go do what I said do.
And you're just like, I got no choice then, right? Like, I can't pick another verse out of my mind like that. Like, you win.
Yeah.
So playing Father Augustus, what has that done for your faith life and for... I mean, I guess the African American community you've seen around, you know, the U.S. I'm sure you've had a lot of great stories and firsthand accounts of how it's kind of changed people's minds and hearts. So, like, what have you seen and experienced from this?
For myself, it's a personal journey, and I feel like I've grown in faith. My heart has opened up tremendously to a point where I truly feel like I can love, you know, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jesus says, I give you a new commandment, you know, love as I love, basically. And it was hard to think about it, especially in the climate that, you know, we've been going through.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized even while doing the show, and people who have different agendas or feel a different way, or after seeing the show, it brings people together. It mm-hmm. really brings people together. All races, you know, it. Everybody seems to say, you know what, you're right. You know, there's right, there's wrong, but we can agree to disagree. But one thing we all agree on is that we are one in Christ. That there is only one race, and that is the human race.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't get around that. When you talk about stories, last night at the show, there was a story, the priest of this, of here, mm-hmm. St. Ignatius, he came up and he said, there was a young kid in the front row, African-American, about 9-10 years old with his mother. And they came out after the show, and there was this lady, she was an Italian lady, she was standing there and he was talking, and the little boy looked up at her and said, do you think I could be like Father Tolton? And she said, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So those seeds are planted, and it's one of those things that with this show, I've had so many different situations where when I first get to the location, you know, I'm setting up, I'm building it, I'm doing everything. And, you know, you got volunteers and, you know, it's sometimes an all white Catholic church where there are no black members or anything. Mm-hmm. And you can feel a tension sometimes. It's like, oh, we had to do this. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, this is not something that we would have chosen, but you know, you're here now. And there was one gentleman that he was just, you could see it in his face. He didn't want, you know, he just didn't want any parts of it. As a matter of fact, he walked out, he was gone. And then he came back to the show that evening. And after the show, he walked up to me, and I mean, eyes just bloodshot red. And he said, "You got me. You got me." Tears came down and he walked away. And that was it. It, you know, and I knew exactly what he meant. It's like, say no more. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Say no more. That's it. So there are so many instances that just watching and seeing what's going on, how, you know, we're still living in an age where people don't realize how much hate there is. Hate is not something that we need right now. Mm-hmm. We need a lot of love, you know, and that is something that Father Tolton really, 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 really pushed for. This, we have to love one another. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm going on this
right. Well, I think that you're absolutely right. I think the reason his story still resonates so strongly today is because, like, we still carry a lot of that, like a lot of the weight, a lot right. of that, you know, a lot of that burden, a lot of that with us, just kind of, you know, it's passed down generationally, yeah. right? On both sides of it, right? You
Absolutely.
Know? And we haven't found good ways to work through it or to kind of let go of it. And so I think the story of Father Augustus is so powerful because it seems so countercultural. Mm-hmm. So what we experience today, where we're just like, oh, they did something wrong, we're going to cancel them, or they don't believe what we believe, so we're not going to be with them. Right. He's preaching like radical love and radical compassion for yeah. each other. And like that, we don't get that. We don't understand that because right. That's not what our culture tells us to do.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. When I look at, you think about, you know, in 1870, or, you know, here he is trying to get into a all-white school. And how could that happen? You know, that's never going to happen. Mm-hmm. But an Irish priest said, it's going to happen. This kid has something. There's something about him that I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that he makes it. So here's a white man who's a priest helping a black escaped slave, basically. Mm-hmm. And he's going to put him in a school where it's an all-white school. So with that happening, and he excels in school, why did it take us to 1954 Brown versus Board of Education
to say, hey, maybe that system actually does work, right?
You see, yeah. It's like almost 100 years. Mm-hmm. Before we can say, you know what? Everybody should be able to go to school together. Mm-hmm. You know, again, it takes, like they said, it takes a village. It takes, you know, it's a big world. When Father Tolton went to Rome, and he said, there were people from all parts of the world, Africa, Japan, China, there were people from all parts of the world. Mm-hmm. And all were my friends. That's it. And once that's one thing that I learned in the military, that we all really just want the same thing. You want to be happy. You want to have a family. Mm-hmm. You want to be able to support your family. We want the same things. It doesn't matter what race you are. You want the same thing. And if we would just look at it in those terms, I'm not trying to take anything from you. I'm trying to support my family. I want a vehicle that's going to get me from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. I want a house that's going to have a good roof on it so I can make sure my children are taken care of. I want food in the refrigerator. You know, just the basics, really. Mm-hmm. And I want to be loved, and I want to love those that are near me. I think we all want it. Mm-hmm. I think that's all we want. You know, it's not like we want anything really, really, really extravagant. If extravagant things come, you take them. But to have the basics comforts of life, every person, race, religion, color, creed, we all want it, no matter where you are. That's all we want, is to love, be loved, and to have, you know, a family and comfort, and just to be able to take care of that family.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And I think that's the that was the prime motivator for Father Augustus's mother, right?
Yeah.
Who's Martha Jane? Like you said, we were talking about right before this. She wanted to provide that life, and she was willing to risk everything for a better life for her family.
Right. That is, you know, to think about this woman with three children escaping slavery, as we were talking about this earlier. For her to risk not only her life, but the lives of her children to escape her situation was obviously hopeless. And she felt that she would rather risk losing everything than to have her children be raised in a situation like that. So the thought of understanding in your mind that you may die and your children may die, that situation had to be so utterly harsh,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, you're ready to run and risk everything. But it speaks to her faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
She had faith that she was going to make it. She had faith that she was going to take her children to a better place. She didn't, obviously, she, you know, the thought of death was there. But the faith that she had that she was going to make it was greater than the fear of what could happen.
Mm-hmm.
So she knew in her heart that I'm going to take my children to a better place no matter what. And to have that type of faith, the Bible says we should walk in faith. Now that's walking in, mm-hmm. faith. That's truly walking in faith, because not everybody will face death for something that they believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And that, again, we go to having a praying mother. And I'll say a praying mother, but, you know, it's a praying mama.
Mm-hmm.
That mama was praying.
She was
to
praying
get
hard.
On a boat and get pushed out in the middle of the Mississippi River at night with three kids, and you don't know anything about boats, about rowing, about, you've never...
Yeah, you never set foot in a boat before. What do you, like, how do you move this thing?
Yeah.
And she's like, we're going to do it. We're gonna
and
figure
they're shooting
this out.
At you.
Yeah.
And they are shooting at you. That is, now that's faith.
Mm-hmm.
That's faith. Like I said, she should be the same. Yeah.
There's cause there. Yeah. There's definitely cause there.
Yeah. Yeah. So it makes a difference. And I think Father Tolton truly had faith. He learned that from his mother. He learned that no matter what situation you're going through, God will bring you through. He lost his baby brother, you know, at an early age. Mm-hmm. His baby brother died, and they made it through. For her to lose a child, that is devastating.
Mm-hmm.
But she continued. She continued. And said, I'm going to put my kids in school. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. She could have easily given up, but she didn't.
Mm-hmm.
She continued. So, you know, you have to applaud that. And, you know, it really makes me think about, you know, people who give up for small things. What am I supposed to do? What do I need to do? What are all these questions? It's like, do something.
Mm-hmm.
Move forward. Don't just sit there. Move forward. Pray. Ask God for guidance and wisdom. And when you ask him for guidance and wisdom, sometimes we have to be careful what we ask God for. You know, I remember my father saying, you know, ask God for what you want and be specific. He said, because you can ask him for strength. You go, Lord, give me strength. Give me strength. And he will. He gives you strength to be strong because you lost a loved one. Is that the strength you want? It's like, well, that's not what I was asking strength for. I was asking, but yeah, that's what you asked for, and that's what he gave you. So you were able to, you know, make mm-hmm. it through that. So if you want wisdom, ask him for wisdom. If you want guidance, ask him for guidance. You know, so be specific. God is your father. God wants to spoil us all, I believe. So if you ask your father for what you want, he's going to do everything in his power to give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think God as our father, as we say it, our father, he will give you what you need. He will give you the desires of your heart. He knows what you need. You know, he's not going to give you something that you really don't need. You feel like that, oh, why me? Why me? Why did this happen to me? And you realize there are people that are going through far, far, far worse things.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thankful for everything that I go through, every trial, every tribulation. On the surface, sometimes it looks like, oh, life is amazing. You got this, you got that. But people don't know the trials and tribulations.
Mm-hmm.
But for everything, I am thankful.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking on those trials, in the production, we see, you know, the hooded figure, right? The, mm-hmm. with the skull face, as I think it serves, he serves multiple purposes, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think he's meant to represent, like, you know, the devil, the evil, you know, all of that. But I also think he personifies what people around Father Augustus are telling him. But I think at a deeper level, it's also what, you know, the tricks of the mind that Father Augustus right. has to work through, right?
Absolutely.
He's just as much telling himself those same things that he's hearing from those people. It's those doubts and those fears
right.
that he's also fighting through. So I think, you know, he always asked God for that strength. And part of that was overcoming the doubts that he had. And he's like, well, like, I'm going to let go of this and just keep moving,
yeah.
keep doing it.
I think we all have those doubts. One of the lines from the evil one is, you'll never amount to anything.
Mm-hmm.
That goes, I mean, you can be in college and you go, what am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
I'm never going to make it. Those doubts are there. So those doubts were, and I mean, I feel like Father Tolton was tormented to a certain degree. It was like, it was tough because everything you try to do, people knock you down.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, you're a Catholic. The Catholic is a white church. You're just a slave.
Mm-hmm.
It's in his head, you know? So when you go into that school and you're a dirty little colored boy, you know, mm-hmm. you stink of tobacco. It's those things are in your head when you're constantly, constantly bombarded with negativity, and that negativity is pointed towards you. It torments.
Mm-hmm.
It torments. But he has his mother to say, if God has something for you, nobody can take that from you.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
And to believe and to have the faith that his mother had, to look at her as an example, even with the torment, he moved forward.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think when he probably couldn't even comprehend the changes in people's lives that he was making, that he continues to make, right?
Yeah.
I think, like, how does he know that, you know, 150 years after, you know, after his life, that there'd be, you know, a production based on his life as
right.
inspiration for
right.
what we're called to be and how we're called to live our faith and live for each other.
Yeah. I think with that, as I've traveled so often, so many people don't know about Father Tolton.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that he has made such an impact, and it is so important that this story gets told. That is why, that is one of the things, like I say, I feel humbled. I feel that I'm unworthy, but God brought me here.
Mm-hmm.
God wants me to tell the story, and I'm telling it, and it needs to be heard. How often I never knew about Father Tolton. And these are, like I say, what I learned a phrase, cradle Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
People, it's like, nobody told me. And I, you know, here it is. And people are so happy to hear about it.
Yeah.
It is moving to so many. I've seen so many white parishioners break down in tears and say, I just didn't see the Catholic Church like that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see it as a racist entity that would tell a black person they can't come in. We, you know, we love everybody. It's like, well, that's the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
And in some instances, it still is.
Mm-hmm.
You may not actually say it, but when a black person walks into the parish and everybody turns around, you go, who is that? And why are they here?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you're saying they can't come in, but why are they here?
You know?
So you don't have to say it. But if I walk into a place and I feel unwanted, unwelcome, then I'm going to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people have walked into your parish and felt unwelcome, and then they leave.
Mm-hmm.
So when that person comes in, you make it a point to go over and say, welcome, come sit up here with me. Come sit with us.
Mm-hmm.
We want you to be part of this congregation. We want you to be part of this Catholic faith.
Mm-hmm.
Make them feel welcome.
Yeah. I think that's really important and really insightful. So, I mean, I'm a cradle Catholic. I knew about Augustus Tolton like about a year and a half ago, maybe.
Okay.
So, like, granted, I grew up like in the valley in South Texas. So like 99% of people we ran into were Mexican. Like, mm-hmm. We're literally, Mexico was closer than any other Texas city. So like growing up, I knew my very Mexican, Catholic faith.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember the first time I saw a black person who wasn't my father in the Catholic Church, and he was a Nigerian priest.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, yeah, they bring him over. Cool. But like, I had not met anybody who's like born in America, African-American, who was a priest, mm-hmm. Up until I moved to Houston.
Wow.
When I was in college.
Yeah.
And like, it blew my mind to see that. I was like, I didn't realize that. Like, I figured there would be some Catholics who are black, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I just didn't know that that community really existed.
Yeah. And I'm always amazed when I travel and I go to these huge Catholic churches, and it's African American,
mm-hmm.
and I look and I go, oh my goodness, oh, and they go, yeah, we've been here since 1937, mm-hmm. 1940, and we built this church. And what? Yeah,
mm-hmm.
They have it's like, oh yeah, we know about Father Tolton. You know, we know about Father Tolton. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we've been waiting for this. We have been waiting for this show.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming. And you feel like, wow, okay. You feel welcome.
Mm-hmm.
You feel welcome there. I mean, I feel welcomed. Really, I usually feel welcomed wherever I go.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't have any, I guess... no preconceived notions about where, when I walk in, I'm here. Here you go. Let's go. Let's do this. Let's have, the show is coming and I need you to help me. I need you to pick this up. My mind is going because I want to bring you something beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I got something I want you to see. I got something you're going to love. Here you go. You got it. And I'm so excited about it that I don't notice sometimes the little things that are going on and people, you know, it's like, hey. But after they see the show, they go, you were right. I see why you're so excited. I see why you're so excited. You know, it's a wonderful opportunity. And like I said, I'm truly humbled. I feel unworthy, but God has brought me here.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about St. Luke Productions.
Oh, man. St. Luke Productions is a grassroots organization that's been traveling the country for 40 years, telling stories of, you know, the saints, Saint Vianney, Saint John, Saint John Vianney, Maximilian, Saint Therese, Saint Faustina. You know, they go out and it's a mission.
Mm-hmm.
They have a mission, and it's not about, you know, it's like financial gain. It's about getting the stories told. It's about educating. It's about teaching people about the greatness of the saints, about the greatness of God. St. Luke Productions, I was overwhelmed, you know, coming from my background as an actor and how things are done. The actor is you know, the actors, you don't, it, all you do, the actor walks in, does his job, and walks away. St. Luke Productions, I drive the Penske truck. I load it, I unload it, I build a set, I act, I get done. And when I was told that, I was saying, well, you know, that's a little bit more. And he said, it's for God. Leonardo said, this is for God. This, and once you realize what you're doing is for God, you put yourself, it's not my will, but your will be done. Mm-hmm. And St. Luke Productions, that's how they operate. It's not my will, it's thy will be done. And that's why they travel. That's why they pray for anyone who needs prayer. They are always there. St. Luke Productions is, when you think about theater productions, when you think about things like, to last 40 years, mm-hmm. it's almost unheard of. And that's why, and I said to Leonardo a few years ago, and I said, you know what? You've lasted for 40 years, you've traveled, and the quality of your productions rivals anything in any city, including New York. Shows on Broadway, we can compete with you. Mm-hmm. If you see it, you'll say, wow, I've mm-hmm. never seen anything like this. That's why I think St. Luke Productions, that company, should be nominated for a Tony. I really do. I've been on Broadway and seen so many shows. And I'm not saying the show Tolton. I'm saying the company as a theater production mm-hmm. company, as a production company that produces all these beautiful shows about saints. Sometimes we glorify and we award so many other things. We should award things that promote Christ. Mm-hmm. And I think St. Luke Productions for 40 years has been promoting the saints, promoting Christ, should be awarded, should be recognized, or just, even if they don't win a Tony, just be honored for doing. And they do it all over the country, mm-hmm. not just, you know, on Broadway, not just on a couple of streets, not just, in Manhattan. They do it all over the country. Yeah, there's tours on, you know, Broadway, they do tours. And they should definitely take a look at St. Luke Productions. And that's my spiel about St. Luke Productions. I love the company, I really do. Leonardo DeFilippis, Patty DeFilippis. I have to tell you this, we were at, we had a show, when was it? Wednesday, the day before Wednesday or Thursday, but Patty DeFilippis, her parents came to the show.
Really?
I was shocked. I had no idea. They knocked on the door and I opened the door. I was like, hey, Jim. I was like, hi. She goes, I'm Patty's mom and this is her dad. Her dad is 91 and her mom is 87.
Oh, wow.
They live here in Houston and they drove to the show. And I'm like, what do you mean? what are you doing? But they were there, and I'm going to probably see them this evening. But I was, and they said they loved it. They loved it. And I said, your daughter's a great director. That was a great story for me to see them, and I'm going to see them a little later on today.
That is awesome. I spoke with Peter earlier last week, and when he was telling me kind of how it got started, and what he's been doing with it for 40 plus years, it's just amazing. Yeah. It tells me that this is something that is ordained by God.
Right.
It's because, like you said, to have anything going for 40 years, any kind of business, let alone, something this complicated and with this many logistics and this competitive.
Yeah.
It's a minor miracle.
Right.
And so for that to there's something in the water there, right? There's something that's happening with St. Luke Productions that not only is it just it's maintained, it's growing and it's continuing to grow and continuing to tell stories hopefully no end in sight, hopefully more resources, more people, more opportunities come.
Yeah, definitely go to stlukeproductions.com. You can donate, go to stlukeproductions.com, ask for prayer. Go to St. Luke Productions, click on the calendar, see where the show is going to be. Not just this show, Maximilian, Faustina, whatever. See where we are. come and see for yourself. Come and witness what we do. And for myself, as an actor, having seen quite a bit as far as theater, television, film, I've seen it. And to be part of this, I would say it rivals anything that I've seen. It really, really does. And I'm not just saying it because I'm in it. I'm saying it because it's the truth. I've had people, we did the show in New York, and I wanted to see what the response was. And for people who live in New York to come in and say, you know what, you guys do a great show. I said, okay. Mm-hmm. So it's not just me thinking this way. It really is something that people should see. And the story is just, the story speaks for itself. Mm-hmm. And I always say, I have no idea a lot of times when I go up there. As an actor, you study your lines, you go in, you say your lines. For this show, with Father Tolton, before every show, I pray and I ask Father Tolton to speak through me, to tell his story, to paint a picture. To paint a beautiful picture so people can really see and feel as if they are part of his life. And I truly feel that he speaks through me sometimes and he tells his story, because by the end, I don't know what happened in the beginning, but I just know that my heart is full, tears are flowing, and I know that he told his story.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, Jim, thank you for taking the opportunity to sit down and talk with us. Is there anything you'd like to add before we wrap this up?
Basically, I would just say, again, go to St. Luke Production. Check us out. Please tell people about us. Come and see the shows. We ask for your support. And understand that we are all one in Christ. Like Jesus said, I give you a new commandment. Love one another just as I love you.
Continuing the theme of a praying mama, we want to explore the life of Saint Monica, a mama that prayed so hard it led to the conversion of one of the most important theologians in our church's history, Saint Augustine of Hippo. Saint Monica was born in what is present-day Algeria. She married a Roman official, Patricius, who was also a pagan. They had three children who survived infancy, Augustine, Navigius, and Perpetua. Because of Patricia's pagan beliefs, St. Monica was unable to baptize the children, which weighed really heavily on her when Augustine fell ill. She managed to get Patricius to relent and agree to baptize Augustine when they believed he may not survive the illness. However, Patricius withdrew the consent when he began to get better. Augustine would grow up and lead a wayward life. He moved to Carthage and became a Manichaean. Bringing his ideas back home, St. Monica kicked him out of his house until she had a vision that convinced her to reconcile with him. She sought consolation with religious and was told that the child of those tears shall never perish. When Augustine secretly went to Rome, St. Monica followed her son, only to find that he had already moved on to Milan, so she followed him there too. It was in Milan that she met Ambrose, who would ultimately help Augustine convert to Christianity. In his confession, St. Augustine said of his mother, "In place of a basket filled with fruits of the earth, she had learned to bring to the oratories of the martyrs a heart full of pure petitions and to give all that she could to the poor, so that the communion of the Lord's body might be rightly celebrated in those places where, after the example of his passion, the martyrs had been sacrificed and crowned." St. Monica and Augustine spent 6 months in present-day Casago Brianza, after which Ambrose baptized Augustine in Milan. After his baptism, Augustine and Monica set out to return to Africa. St. Monica did not survive the journey, dying in Ostia Antica, outside of Rome. In his grief, Augustine found his inspiration to write his confessions. If you made it this far, thank you for sticking with us. Can't you see how important a praying mama can be? And you know, if you're saying to me, "Darnell, I don't have a mother that prays," know that you do in Mary, Mother of Jesus. She's your mama too. And if you thought my mother prayed hard, if you thought Martha Jean prayed hard, if you thought Saint Monica prayed hard, know that Mother Mary's got them all beat. She has the ear of the Lord and she will pray for you. So share this episode and this message with someone who needs to hear it. Share it with your friends, family, coworkers, classmates, a mama that prays hard. And special thanks to Jim Coleman and Leonardo DeFilippis and everybody at Saint Luke Productions. The work you're doing is heaven sent. I'm Darnell Miller, and you've been listening to Protagonists of Change, a podcast from Max Studios at the University of St. Thomas in Houston. Until next time, peace.